Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 3 for Spring Semester 2012. Lecture 21, delivered on April 10, 2012. The title of this lecture is Marginal Cost of Capital.
Today, the marginal cost of capital. The best way to learn this topic is to just do a problem. And over the years, I've tried to do it more of in a theoretical kind of way, but I have found that, not insulting your intelligence, doing it by a step-by-step, monkey-see-monkey-do, works a lot better. This will be one of the major workout questions on your exam as well. Project analysis, deciding whether a project is an up or a down using marginal cost of capital, is a fairly sophisticated way to do it, and it's a way that is popular in some places, some companies now. And like I said, we're just going to walk it down the grinder together like a big happy family. Like the Simpsons, I suppose, together. And you will see that it actually, once you know that it's just do this, do this, do this, for God's sake, don't ask why, you'll find out that you can get the problem done. Now, I'll set up each step with what you're doing and a little bit of why you're doing it, and then I'll set you loose. And I'll be walking around looking at what you're doing. And if you make a mistake, I will gently encourage you with a strike to the back of the head to do it correctly. On the back, there is a graph that you make. You will use a straight edge or a ruler to do that. I promise you that if you go slob city on it, you'll get the wrong answer, because the numbers are so tight and the graph gets so close to another graph, the two graphs that you'll do get so close to each other, that if you don't do it really carefully, you won't see the right answer. So there you are. Do you all have one of these happy little sheets? Okay, who has extras, for God's sake? Are there any extras? Oh. Thank God. Okay, here, let me give you one. Okay, who's still missing? Holy cow, that whole, what the hell? One, don't be greedy. There's plenty for everybody. There should be, anyway.
Did you get a haircut?
Yeah. Yes. No, I got a hair styling, for God's sake. I mean, at that price, I mean, $12, I could have bought cheeseburgers for $12. You know?
I don't know why I'm thinking that.
Who else needs one?
Are we doing it in a group?
Yeah, you do it in a group of 2 to 5 or 6. The lead name.
One more.
No, you're going to do one for yourself, but you're going to hand in one for the group. Yeah, there you go. Okay, who else needs one? Are we all happy? Huh.
Thank you.
Yeah. And in Blackboard, I'll put up a PDF of this so you can have an extra one to work with. But again, put the lead name for your group on the first, on the top of the first page, and put the other names at the bottom of the last page. Okay. Now, through the grinder, we're going to take this meatloaf and see what happens. And I'll read the narrative for the podcast. Truebill Products has a capital structure of 40% debt and 60% common equity. Now, there's that thing I mentioned last time. We don't find the optimal capital structure in this class. We just say, all right, this is what it is. And that's what the scenario you would probably encounter in a company. They would say, well, this is our capital structure. It has been this. We have the mathematical engineers do that. But we work with this capital structure. The managers consider this mix to be optimal and want to maintain it in the future. Net income for the coming year, and no, I need you to fix that. That's not correct. Net income for the year just ended. That's incorrect. For the year just ended. Change that for the coming, net income for the coming year. Net income for the year just ended is. Is 1.6 million dollars. So that sentence should read: net income for the year just ended is 1.6 million dollars. So let me explain why that's important. You see, what they have just made in net income is what's going to be available for internally generated equity to finance projects in the coming year. So if I had told you what they were expected to make next year, you'd have to back that up to what they made this year, because what they just finished making is what they've got in money in the bank for next year's projects. Aaron Charles, the loan officer at the local bank, has set up the following schedule for Truebill Products borrowings. From zero to half a million, they're going to pay 8% on those borrowed funds. Above 500,000, they're going to pay 12% on borrowed funds. Now, there are 50,000 shares of common stock outstanding. The firm's tax rate is 30%. The market price per share of Truebill Products Common is $40. They have declared and just paid $4 per share dividend. That's important because this company made at the net income line $1.6 million. They will pay a dividend, so what they have to finance projects from equity, from internally generated equity, from net income, will be the $1.6 million minus how much they paid in dividends. So it's not going to hurt you to quickly scratch out, all right, what is that amount going to be after they've paid dividends? They've got $1.6 million net income. Then they got 50,000 hungry shareholder shares that will each get a $4 check. So that then you have to think, all right, how much total in dividends are they going to haul out of their 1.6? Go.
Are dividends before taxes or
after? Huh?
Are dividends before taxes or after? Like, does that come out of that 1.6 million or does it come out?
No, that's why we talked about double taxation. The corporation has already paid its tax. And then when the people get their dividend check, they pay tax on it again.
So
1.6 is net income.
That's after tax?
Yeah, net is after tax. So we go and say, all right, 50,000 shares, $4 a share, that's $200,000, is it? Yeah, I hope that is. No, it's not. That's $2 million. Let's make that 40. Yeah, let's say that's not going to happen. Let's just say that that's actually 500,000. I'm sorry, 5,000 shares. It is 200? Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, I did it right. I'm trying to second guess myself. I got rattled with that thing up there. I made that mistake. Yeah, we're all good. So 1.6 million minus 200,000 means that they've got 1.4 million that is going to fund projects. Now remember this. When they fund projects, they don't spend that money from net income and then borrow money. They're going to be spending both kinds of money simultaneously. That's how you hold your capital structure. So at any given time, if you, sir, are a project manager and you say, I need a dollar, I, as the money person, the treasurer, I will take 60 cents from the net income after dividends. I'll give that to you. Then I'll go over here to the borrowed money and take 40 cents of that and give it to you. That's how you finance projects in a corporation. That's how you keep your capital structure in balance. At every step, you don't use just one source of money. You use your sources in the optimal way. The capital optimal capital structure way. Okay, down the grinder. The company's expected growth rate is 8%. Float on new common is 6% of market. The managers are considering several investment opportunities for the coming year. They asked their senior financial analyst, Paula Trace, to recommend which of the following projects the firm should undertake. You're the newest member of the team and need the experience. She has passed the management request on to you. So now we get down to the happy work that is this project. Step one, find my damn reading glasses. The cost of debt. Now, this actually is two answers, and I give you two spaces there. Remember that the cost of debt after taxes is the cost of debt before taxes times 1 minus the tax rate. Mind you, woman. How do I zoom? Yeah, oh God. Did you see that? That almost made me hurl. Let me back it off a little bit. That good? So you're going to say, okay, while they are using their first 500 grand of borrowed money, their tax rate, their after-tax cost of debt will be 1 minus the tax rate times the cost of that debt. And then you'll go down and you'll do it again, 1 minus the tax rate times the higher cost of debt. You do those two together, and that should not be difficult for you to do. Now, for God's sake, just one of the things that is a real problem is if you're working on these, making a little arithmetic mistake, which I'm known to make, I've been known to make from time to time. I mean, it could ruin all of your answers after that. So for heaven's sake, double check your calculations. Hey, if you're working in groups, just have a couple of people do it. Now, there are two kinds of equity that a company has. The internally generated equity. That's the money that the company has made. It's paid its bills, so that is, in a sense, belongs to the shareholders. That's what we call internally generated equity. Then there's externally generated equity when you sell new stock to new potential shareholders. But first, let's get the cost of internally generated equity, which we designate with K sub S. Now, that will be the dividend one period out. You will not believe how many people forget that, and they will do it on the test D0. I told you D0, that's not what you use. I told you D0, it was $4. That's not what you use. Over the price of the stock plus the growth rate. Now, the dividend one period out, see that D1? That's not the $4 dividend. That's the $4 dividend grown one period. It's D0 times 1 plus G. Growth rate here is on dividends is expected for the foreseeable future to be 8%. So that means that in this problem, you've got to take that $4 dividend and multiply by 1.08 to get the right answer. And then don't forget to add G to it. Don't forget to add your G, your growth rate. Okay, here we go. Now, you will find that that number should be higher than the cost of either tier of debt. Is that right? Did you find that? Did you found that, right? For God's sake, woman, did you find that? You didn't?
Hey, what did you do?
You haven't gotten the answer yet, the number. Okay. You need to take that $4 dividend times 1.08. That will give you the D1. How are you doing? Okay, let's get it done then. Let's get it done. The D0 is $4 times 1.08 times 1.08. Yeah, okay, fine. Be fancy like that. Okay, now use that in your formula. Okay. And then you just crank it. Yeah, you're running a calculator. How you doing? Got it?
No.
Okay. I want you to take, what's your D0?
I have no idea. Oh, the $4 per share dividend.
And what's 1 plus, what's your growth rate?
Growth rate is...
Say 8%.
Okay, 8%.
That's right.
Okay.
So you're going to do 1.08 times $4. That'll give you your D1.
1.08 times 4, okay.
And then you just take that over, take that over. Just work 432 divided by. Yeah, don't be like me. How you doing? Okay. Grr. Divided by. Now you do your price of your stock, and then you gotta find the price of the stock, okay? You got it? Okay. How you doing? That looks about right. Yeah, you took it for 40. Yeah, you're all good.
I'm not going to get the cost of the debt. Is it 40%?
No, the cost of your debt is for the cost of debt 1 point. Your marginal tax rate is 30%. Okay.
Okay,
I can't see it for the dark. So you're going to do 1 minus 0.3. Mm-hmm. Ups 8%. That gives you your first tier. Then you do 1 minus 0.3 times 12%. That gives you your second tier.
Okay.
Follow it?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Sure. How you doing? Yeah, you got it. And then plus 0.08. Don't forget that part. How you doing?
How's it looking?
My ass. That can't be. That's 172. This is supposed to be a percentage. Okay, 4.32. Did you get 4.32 for the dividend? Okay, divided by 40.
Yeah.
Plus 0.08. Do that.
Oh, I did times.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was insensitive. Okay. What you got here?
Is that right? Yeah.
You got it. You got it. Okay. Are you working with them?
Yeah.
Share that. What's your name?
Lance.
Good to meet you. See you back here. You look like some of my Jewish relatives. So I don't know. That's not poor. Yeah, you didn't just do 8% there. Okay, you're. Yeah, you got it. You're fine. Okay.
Sheets up there.
Yeah, just go ahead and grab one off that. Right there on the left side of the mic, there should be some.
Are we doing this right?
See what you got there. Got it. Write these as percentages, okay? Just write them as normal percentages.
For this one, then, would you do?
You do the 12%. 1 minus 0.3 times 12%. Okay, you need your cost of debt. These are your cost of debt.
Oh, okay. What's this up here, then?
That's 40%. Your capital structure. We don't use that until later.
Okay? Too far ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to reach. How you doing? Oh, God. And it's still ticking. Go ahead. Okay. 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 Technically speaking, this sucks. Okay. There is your cost of lower debt, and there is your cost of upper debt. One
minus points. No, that's capital structure. That has nothing to do with debt. These are your debt. How much it's going to cost you for your first $500,000 you borrow, then how much it's going to cost you for your second. Okay, you got it? Yes.
What's P7S?
The price of the stock.
$4?
$40. It said the price of the stock is $40. $4 is the dividend. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, how are you doing? Talk to me.
How are you doing up there?
Yeah, put that over there. And then you'll want to do that one. Now, you got to get your price of the stock, which is $40.
Okay.
Okay? How are you doing here? Let's see what you got here. Okay. You got to get your D. Okay, D0. That's D0. Okay, now D0 is $4. So times 1 plus 0.08, and you get, go ahead. Now put that, that's over your price of your stock. Well, yeah, put it on another line. Over the price of the stock. What's the price of your stock? Where the hell is it? $40, yeah. Okay, plus 0.08, plus 0.08. Watch that. I did that too in my, when I worked it out. Go ahead.
First one, what's K of D?
K sub D is this on the first tier, the cost of debt. For the first 500,000 they borrow, it'll be 8%. Okay. For the second 500,000, after that 500,000, they pay 12%. So it's going to be 1 minus 0.3 times 8% for the first one, 1 minus 0.3 times 12% for the second one.
Okay.
You with it? Okay. How are you gentlemen doing here? What's your guy? No.
No?
It should be 18.8.
Oh, okay.
18.8. Yeah, you will get wrong answers if you round that much. Okay, you guys. Okay, you're going to want to do 1 minus the marginal tax rate. The marginal tax rate is 3%, 30%. So it's 1 minus 0.3. You've got two tiers of debt. The first $500,000 they borrow is that one. So that'll be the first one for the first line. And then you do it again with the more expensive debt that they'll have to take on after they cross the $500,000 mark. Okay, what you got?
For D1, you said this is the formula for it?
Yeah, what's your D0?
Okay, is it four?
$4, and your growth rate is?
0.08.
Good, so it's four times one plus 0.32. Yes, and then divided by 40 plus 0.08. You're rocking, smoking. Okay, what we got?
Yeah, do you change it into a percent?
Yeah, right, it is a percent for the time being. There's really no reason to use the decimals for this work here. It'll all work out more visually, obviously, if you just use normal percentages here. Yeah, 18.8 you should be getting. How you doing? You got it? Getting it?
That's looking good, right?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
You got it.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, I just want to make sure everyone's good here. Outstanding. Okay. No one needs me anymore. Woman, how are you doing? I'm almost. What the hell is it with this? I mean, you could hurt something you care about. I mean, okay.
We got 18.8%.
There you go. Give her a cookie, for God's sake.
Him. He helped.
Oh, well, okay. You got a date with her then. Good man. Okay. And then do the trip. Yeah. Just put those numbers down there. You're all good.
Okay.
Are you okay on it? No, you want this one goes here. You got two tiers of debt. You got the 8% debt there, and then you got 12% debt. There's two tiers, okay? That's why I gave you two lines for cost of debt. Okay, how are we doing?
We're doing all right.
Outstanding. You got it. You're good. You're all good. Okay. Plus 0.08. Plus 0.08. You'll have to do it as a decimal for this and then turn it back into percentage, okay? Did you get 18.8%?
Okay. Yeah.
That's where it is.
How do you get
okay.
D1?
Okay, D0. What was your dividend that was just paid?
$4.
What's your growth rate? 8%, right? So you do 4 times 1 plus 0.08. That gives you the dividend that will happen 1 year from today. Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
And then the rest of it's just pretty easy. Divided by 40 plus 0.08. Okay. Yeah. You're getting ahead of me already. Yeah, you got it. You got it.
We're working on D now.
Okay. That's, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
Okay, it looks like you've got it. Did you see that that cost of equity is staggeringly higher than the cost of debt? Even your more expensive debt is almost half of the cost of equity. That's the way it works. Equity is expensive. Even the internally generated stuff is expensive. Then when you get to the externally generated equity, the cost of new equity, case of N, you're going to do that same D1. That's why it's nice to have that D1 done. You've got it. You can do it, use it again there. Over the price of the stock minus your float cost. If you sell that stock to an external investor to raise new equity at $40 a share, the brokers are going to take some of that money from you. In this case, the float is 6%. So they're going to take 6% of that $40 away from you. So you have to figure out what 6% of $40 is. What the hell is 6% of $40? Did I say 6%?
Yeah.
Okay. 6% of $40 is what? $240. So you say, all right, the price that the company's going to get if it sells stock isn't going to be $40. It's going to be $40 minus $2.40. And then you have to do your plus G. Now it's time to go to the next one. Comes the next part. Now we're going to do breakpoints. And I'll tell you right now, there you see I have breakpoint 1, breakpoint 2, breakpoint 3 there. Only the first two breakpoints will happen in this problem because there's only two different ways to finance. There's a break that will happen in the debt, and then there's a break that will happen in the equity. Let me go back to the original story. Woman, you're my project manager. You come to me and you say, I should like a dollar to finance these projects that we're doing. And so I reach into my pocket and I offer this dollar. Reach for it. That! We can't do it that way. Because in order to maintain optimal capital structure, I have to always give her 40 cents from my debt pool, the money I borrowed, and 60% from the money that I've got that we earned from equity. So I'm going to go, okay, I've got the 60 cents in equity. I made a lot of money last year. Even after paying the dividend, I got, what, $1.4 million? So I'm pretty good on that. But that bank on that first tier of debt, it lent me only $500,000. So I've reached and I've gotten my 60 cents and I gave that to you because I've still got plenty of net income money after dividends. But then I reached for the debt money and I thought, oh, well, spank me. I don't have any more 40 cents. I borrowed the $500,000 from the bank. I don't have any more. It's at that point that I have to go back to the bank and say, I need more money. They'll say, sure, but now they're going to start making me pay 12%. I need to find where the break point is. Look, that $500,000 that I borrowed first from the bank, that was 40% of all the money I was giving you. So in other words, what I need to now know is how much money I gave to you that caused me to break through $500,000 in debt money I gave you. Let me say that again. I was giving you money. I've given you money my whole life, and I'm tired. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was with my daughter. I've been giving you money. Eventually, there comes a point where I run out of the first round, that first tier of borrowed money. Now, $500,000 was only 40% of what I was giving you. So I've got to find out how much total money I went through that caused me to blow $500,000 of debt money. Here's how you do it. It's actually kind of like I'm just going to show you the end of a simple little algebra trick. The break point one, where debt happened, where I ran out of debt money, is going to be the first tier of debt money. Divided by the amount of debt in my capital structure. And it's really easy because the top number is just the $500,000. And the bottom number is 40%. That'll tell me how much total money I must have spent that blew $500,000 in debt money. That is my first break point. What do you get for the number? What is it?
1.25.
Okay. What that means is that I had given you $1.25 million. That exhausted $500,000 in debt money that I was using as part of that financing mix. Again, $1.25 million total that I gave her means that I had blown $500,000 in debt money, which was 40% of every dollar I gave you. That is a break point. It's called a break point because I've got to go back to the bank now and say I need to start borrowing money at a higher rate. This tells me that the marginal cost of capital to me just went up. The next dollar I spend is now going to be more expensive. The dollar I spend after exactly $1.25 million is going to be more expensive than that $1.25 million, however you say that. Then comes the second break point. Because now I'm cruising along, okay? I'm up on my second tier of debt, I'm borrowing. Now remember, I'm on my second tier of debt. It's more expensive debt, but I'm still milking that cow that was the money from earnings after dividends. That was a lot of money. That was like $1.4 million. I'm still using that. I'm using more expensive debt money, but I'm still using money that came from actually earning money in the company. But sooner or later, you're going to come to me and you're going to say, I need more money. And I'm going to reach for my, you're going to need a dollar. And I'm going to reach into my pocket. And I'm going to go for the 60 cents. And I'm going to say, I don't have it. I don't have it. We've just used up all the money we earned after dividends. It's gone. All of my internally generated equity is now gone. The bank's going to keep shoveling expensive money to me, but I've got to keep my optimal capital mix, so I have to find another way to get 60 cents in equity. So I have to now go to the cost, so I have to sell common stock. Breakpoint two is going to be your earnings after dividends, how much you can go through in money that the company earned after it pays dividends, divided by the equity in the capital structure.
So in that case,
I have to say, what were my earnings after I paid my dividend? How much total money did I have? What that will tell you is how much I could blow that was 60% of every dollar I gave you. What do you come up with there? Talk to me. Yeah. Yeah. See, I can go all the way to 2.33 million still using money that I earned in the company. See, I'm going to have to be using more. After 1.25 million, I'm going to have to borrow from the bank at the higher rate. But I still got money in the bank that we earned after we paid the dividend. So I'm still raking that and using that up to the point where she asks for the $2,333,333. At that point, when she goes for that 34th dollar, I say, lady, I don't have it. But I've got to use equity. If I'm going to use 40% debt, 60% equity, I've got to find 60 cents in equity. The only place I can do it is to sell more common stock. So in other words, when I reach $2,333,000, I am no longer, not only am I going to have to use expensive debt, I'm going to have to haul ass out there into the capital markets and sell stock, which is going to be really expensive money. Did you get that stock, that cost of new equity? Did you see what it was? Well, what did it come out to be? Something in the 19% range or something like that, was it? Yeah, I mean, that is expensive money. But in order to keep financing, I've got the debt in place. It's expensive debt money. But boy, that new equity now, I've gone past $2,333,333. There you go. Here we go to the next round. Flip it over. There is no breakpoint three. The breakpoints, you notice something. I had one jump in the cost of debt. I had one jump in the cost of equity. Follow me on this, because I will ask this on an exam. It's a classic multiple choice question. I had one jump in the cost of debt. I had one jump in the cost of equity. That means that there will be two breakpoints. If I had had, like some banks, they'll give you several jumps in the cost of debt as you borrow more money. You got to count each of those. If I had also, on the equity side, I had seen selling preferred stock as an option. It's cheaper than common stock, but most companies wouldn't do it. But if preferred stock were a way to get some extra equity money, that would have been another jump in the cost of equity. You've got to count the total number of jumps that will happen in debt and in equity. That's your number of breakpoints. I put in that third breakpoint if I ever felt like being an asshole and putting in preferred stock. But I didn't. I didn't put that in. Let's go down here. Now we're going to calculate. This one is easy. I mean, it doesn't look like it at first to some people, but trust me, once you get the hang of it, we're going to find the marginal cost of capital. In this case, because there's only two different kinds of capital, there's just straight debt and straight equity, the formula is actually very easy. The marginal cost of capital... Yeah. Oh, sorry. Where the hell? Oh, there we go. Thank you. I was doing that for my own benefit. I didn't even notice that you wanted to see it too. Fine. The marginal cost of capital on a given tier, on one of the tiers, is going to be the weight of stock in the capital structure. The weight of debt. Let me do a debt and stock. The weight of debt in the capital structure times the cost of debt
plus the weight of equity in the capital structure times the cost of equity. Now watch how I do it. Remember, at first, I used cheap debt, cheap equity. That's your first tier. I'm going to put cheap debt, cheap equity. So for the first one, the marginal cost of capital 1 on the first tier will be the weight of debt, which is 0.40, times the cost of debt after taxes, remember. What the hell was the cost of debt? 5.4%? 5.6%. Times 5.6% plus the weight of equity times 18.8%. And if you do that, you're going to get 0.4 times 5.6 plus 0.6 times 18.8, my ass, 13.52, okay. 13.52%. That is the cheapest combined cost you will see. You will have that cost for the first $1.25 million of capital expenditures. Again, let me say that one more time. That cost right there, you see that 13.52%? That will be your marginal cost of capital for the first $1.25 million in capital expenditures you make in the coming year. Why $1.25 million? Because at $1.25 million, I run out of debt. Remember that I'm still using cheap equity, so on the second tier... What the hell happened? Did I just have a small stroke? That was weird. Oh, I pressed something. Okay. Okay, there you go. Now, again, now I want you to work it out for yourself. Remember, the 0.4 and the 0.6 are going to stay the same because you are holding an optimal capital structure. What will also stay the same is the cost of equity because you are still in the second tier using your cheaper equity. But you had to go to the bank and now you're paying more for the debt. So on the second tier, the only thing that's going to change is your cost of debt. That's why you did that at the beginning. You have to use the second cost of debt. And you will use that until you blow to $2.33 million in capital expenditures. So can you do that on your own? Yeah. You use the 0.4 and the 0.6, but now you don't get to use cheap debt. You're still using money from your pile of earnings, but your debt, you're paying the higher rate now. That's why you found both rates. The second marginal cost of capital.
Thank you.
So how are you doing? Did you get it? Should have been a little more, should have been above 14%. Is that what you got? Something above 14? Okay. You've now gotten your second marginal cost of debt, marginal cost of capital. This, again, you will be able to pay, this will be your cost for your capital expenditures that are between $1.25 million and $2.33 million. In that zone right there, you're borrowing at an expensive rate, at the higher rate, but you're still using the somewhat cheaper, if cheaper is the word for it, the cheaper equity, the stuff that you earned internally. And finally, you will do above $2.33 million. Well, there is where you got to go out and sell common stock. You are not only going to now pay out the wazoo, and that's a technical financial term, you're not going to not only going to pay out the wazoo for your debt, you are going to pay out the schnoz for your equity. So the 0.4 and the 0.6, again, they stay the same because you are holding your capital structure because you consider it optimal. But now you are going to use the expensive debt and you are going to use expensive equity. Do you see the pattern of how you do these marginal costs of capital? Like I said, it sounds complicated at first, but then the pattern, once you see the pattern, it's easy. Cheap, cheap, expensive, cheap, expensive, expensive. Okay? Again, when you're doing the marginal cost of capital, cheap, cheap, expensive, expensive. That's how you do it. You with? And now we've done all the calculations. By the way, I want to say one thing. I want you to remember it. If you have to tattoo it on your ass, do so, because I ask this on every second exam. And I'll tell you when the next exam is on Thursday. But I want you to remember this. The first tier of the marginal cost of capital is your weighted average cost of capital. The first tier of the marginal cost of capital is the weighted average cost of capital. In other words, the cost of the last dollar gets worse and worse and beats the pants off the weighted average cost of capital as you borrow more and more and use more and more expensive money. Money will not stay the same in terms of its expense. Both your debt and your equity are going to get blazingly expensive as you need more of it to complete projects. Now we go to the part where all you do, we've done marginal cost of capital. Now you're going to build what is called an IOS, an investment opportunity schedule. And all it is, you just go to the front of your paper and look at the investment opportunities that were presented. And on the IOS schedule, in that little table, you just rearrange them from the best return to the worst return. And there's a reason you're going to do this, IOS schedule. Again, just go to the front of your exam. You go to the front of your exam and you find those investment opportunities. You relist them on the back, on the IOS schedule, from the best return to the worst return. In other words, you are prioritizing your investments by their return. That's all that is on that second page. So it would be Project D, 15, Project A, 600,000, project, whoops, and project A was, what, 12% return. Project B, 1 million. That was 10%. And then project C was 800,000 at 8%. Okay, you see them? There's your iOS schedule. Okay, now you're ready to finish it up. This is where you very, very need to be neat, doing perfect lines. You don't have to use a ruler, but you really need to use something that can make a sharp, sharp, straight line. In other words, this is the kind of thing where drinking coffee or Red Bull before you do it isn't a good idea. What's happening in this graph that I've given you here is I've set you up what's called an MCC iOS grid. You're going to have to choose the scales. On the vertical scale, this is going to be cost and return. And I've made it so that each tick mark, the best thing to do would be make each tick mark 1%. So that you are going to go up. It's 11, 12, 13. I've built it, I put it up high enough so that you will be able to get everyone in. Up to 21% you could get it. Okay, now the one that's always kind of a pain, and it, realistically, I saw an app at some point in Excel to do these iOS MCC iOS graphs. And I wish I still knew where I knew. I wish I had pirated or borrowed that, but I didn't. It set up the graph. It was really cool, and it was actually being used at a company I saw some years back where I visited. But anyway, look. I want you to look here. You've got 2.1 million, 3.1 million, 3.9 million total that you could spend. So the scale here, you want it to get out that far. And in this case, I don't know. I'm going to do 500,000 on each of those tick marks. And that will be enough to get me well past what I could possibly spend. You don't want to go way, way too far. You've got to get a balance. You've got to get enough space in there so that you can visually see what's happening. But you can't do it so in so much detail that you run out of room. And I recommend you start with $500,000 on a tick. And see how that works out. It might not, but you know, that's, you've got to take your chances on it. It's sort of an art form. Okay, now what we're going to do is this. The first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to lay in my marginal costs of capital. But before I do that, I have a preliminary thing to do. Always do this. Step one, put in your breakpoints. Before you do anything else, even if you have to go to the toilet, don't until you put in your breakpoints. Your friends will understand. They'll buy you diapers next time. You had a breakpoint. What was your first breakpoint? 1.25 million?
Well, you know what? You're going to put that in. You're going to put that in as a poll. You're going to put it in like it is some kind of a barrier. Like it's some kind of an important place where something important happens. You can put it as a dotted line if you want, whatever. I actually usually put it as a dotted line if I'm doing this personally. Now that's the first one. And you use a straight edge. And then you find where your second break point is. Something important happened there. So you're going to put that important event there on that graph. And that was at 2.33. That would be right around there. And that's my second pole. And now, we're going to do the graph. First, the marginal cost of capital. Look up there at the top on part three, in step three. How much did your cheapest debt cost? What was it? Say it. Come on. Show me. 13.52. Yeah. You know what? That's how much it, your marginal cost of capital was up to $1.25 million. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put in 11, 12, 13.52 as best I can and as close to perfect as I can my first tier of the marginal cost of capital as a straight line that stops dead at that first breakpoint. That's why I drew the breakpoint. It tells me where to stop on the first marginal cost of capital tier. That's why I do these. Do you see what I just did there? I found my first marginal cost of capital and I drew, all right, that's what it's going to cost me for my first cost of capital. Now talk to me. What was the cost of my on my second tier of marginal cost of capital? 14.64, did you get? Okay. 14.64. So now I'm going to say, all right, from the first breakpoint to the second breakpoint, 14.64, which is right about there, that is how much capital costs me when I am spending between $1.25 and $2.33 million. There's my second marginal cost of capital. It's like a stair-step ladder. Don't draw this second one over to the axis. It isn't there. That's not your cost on the first $1.25 million. It's your cost on the second. Now we go to the third marginal cost of capital. What was that one? 15 point what? 06. Oh, I thought 05, 06. I think it was 06. I'm not sure. So now I'm going to draw 15.06 on my final tier, and that goes on forever. From there on, that's what my cost of capital is going to be. Now I want you to notice that this is important for you to be critical and careful in your graphing. And another thing, sort of a throwback point. I don't know if many of you remember it, but somewhere in your back experience in high school or maybe in college algebra, they showed you what was called a stepwise function, where they it was sort of like a stair-step ladder. And a lot of people have asked me, I've been a math teacher off and on for 30 years, where would you ever see this? One of the best examples is right here. This is what is called in math a stepwise function.
They really are out there in the real world. Now, what we're going to do is the last part. We're going to draw in the investment opportunity schedule. We're going to do the IOS. Let me back out here a little bit. I'm going to need some room here. Look at that first project. The best project we can get is 15%. How much money is that going to cost us? What is it? $1.5 million. It returns us 15%. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to draw in the IOS right on top of the MCC. Watch. It returns 15%, and I've got to spend $1.5 million. So I would have to draw a 15% investment that goes out to $1.5 million. That's project A. I want you to look at something. Which is higher, project A or the marginal cost of capital? Look at it. A starts out well above marginal cost of capital. Even after the first jump, project A is working like a boss. It's okay. What did I do?
I'm
talking instead of. See, I did that on purpose just so you could see that you got to be careful with these. Yes, indeed. Actually, that was what I meant anyway, because look, notice. Do you see how close it is on the second one?
Yes,
sir. Why does this keep happening? What do I keep doing? Oh, there we go. That really helped. Is that okay? Because if it isn't, I'm about to bust this son of a... Yeah, okay. Is it project... Oh, I'm sorry, I wrote... too many things are happening at once here. Do you see how... Again, though, and I set this problem up for this to happen in here. Do you notice that at first, project A is well above the marginal cost of capital? But do you see that by the end, it's above the marginal cost of capital, but just barely? I will accept project D. I keep saying A. I will accept project A, or project D. What the hell, man? I will accept project D because I complete it above the cost of the last dollar to do it. Again, I will accept project D because I complete it above the cost of doing it. By the end, it's close, but I'm still doing okay. Now I go to project A, which returns 12% for me. So after I've spent $1.5 million, the next thing I'm going to do is spend $600 million more. So the next step on the IOS graph starts where Project D ended. And I'm going to spend spend $600,000 up to about there on project B. Oh, I'm sorry, on project A. That's project A right there. Project A doesn't have a chance. The cost of it is above what I'm going to get for earn on it. Do you see that? Project A, I mean, it doesn't stand a chance. Its return is below. It starts out below. Here's a warning. Even if a project starts out above, if it ends below, you reject it. Again, even if a project starts out above, if it ends up below the MCC graph, you reject it. In this case, project A doesn't even start out above. It's gone before it starts. It is a non-starter. Yeah. No, it shouldn't. It should be tighter in there.
It should be tighter in there. Where's 2000? Yeah, you're right.
Should be like.
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean that. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I wasn't reading my own graph right. You're absolutely right. That should be way in there. To 2100.
Okay, I spent $1.5 million on the first project, right? On project D. So now the second project will start out where $1.5 million has been burned. I've gone $1.5 million, now an additional $600,000. So from, I'm going to do that one over because there's no way.
Let me draw my breakpoints in. Trying to talk and do this at the same time is not working right now. Okay. My first MCC was 13.52. Breakpoint is at 1.25. Yeah. My second breakpoint was at 2.33. Yeah. And then my marginal cost of capital, my first one was 13.52. Let me draw this in here real quick. 13.52. And then 13.53, I'm sorry, 14.64, and then my last one, 15.06. Okay, now let me do that right. 15% was my first one, and that goes on up to 1.5 million. 15%. Now, the last thing you need to do here, and I'm going to fill in this part right here. The last thing that you're going to want to do, and then project A goes up to 2.1 million at 12%. Now, for you, what the heck, you know? There we go. Now, that's D, that's project A. Your last thing that you want to do, now that I've repaired those two mistakes, BP1, BP2, you need to put in the last two tiers on the ILS to complete the project, and then the answer, which projects should True Built Products accept, you just tell me. Don't say, give me a letter. Just say, True Built should accept projects, and that's the end of it, and then you turn it in, and then you're done. That's all I have for you today. I thank you.